Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Friday edition of the Chapter by Chapter podcast for Children of Dune. I am your host, Will, and I am not on a convoy today.
You sure aren't. And I am Steve from the Chapter by Chapter podcast.com.
I'm off of it now. All right. You know, my whole things are trains.
You're into trains?
Yeah, I'm into trains.
My father and his father are very into trains.
Way more uniform.
They both have a lot of the toy train, old collectible vintage trains, and I didn't get into the hobby, and I think they're really sour about that they can't pass their trains down to me. I'll take them, though. They would give me their old shitty ones as a kid, so I did have a few, like, pretty nice train setups as a kid. But my dad actually has, like, a train car that's actually, it's worth, like, $10,000 or something. He has it locked up in a safety deposit box in the center of the hollow earth.
That could buy us a whole another network of podcasts that we can start making there, Steve.
It's guarded by King Kong with his power glove. Check out the new Kong X Godzilla
movie. Oh, God. So wait. So, okay. Your dad has a $10,000 estimated.
Yeah, estimated. You got to, of course, find a buyer for something like that. But it's...
But it's a wooden train?
No, not wooden. But it's like one
car?
Of those, you know. Like
or like one of those
model trains. But like the ones that actually work.
Okay.
Like... You know what
I mean? Okay. Yeah, that's a big scene.
It is. But we are here to talk about an even bigger scene, okay? The Dune scene. Yeah. Not to be confused with the Dune Sea. That's different. That's Star Wars. That's a different show. You have to check out our other podcasts, Steve Orr's to hear me talk about it, or Will of the Force to hear Will talk about it.
That definitely exists.
Yeah, we made them. Those are super secret podcasts. They're not even behind a paywall. They're behind an invisible metaphorical wall. And you gotta find your own way. You gotta destroy your own future to find it. The fuck am I even saying?
Yeah, I hate this bit. I'm gonna read the chapter introduction.
That's the thing. It's not even a bit. It's just me fucking trying. This is what happens now. Like after all these fucking futures are taken away. Okay. Fucking whatever, man. Let's talk about this chapter. Let's talk about fish and worms.
Let's do it. I'm here for it. Okay. I'm going to read it. Because I did a good job yesterday. I thought I did pretty well. Almost no stuttering.
You stuttered when you just said stutter.
Shut the fuck up.
I will.
The future of prescience cannot always be locked into the rules of the past. The threads of existence tangle according to many unknown laws. Prescient future insists on its own rules. It will not conform to the ordering of the Zen Sunni, nor to the ordering of science. Prescience builds relative integrity. It demands the work of the instant, of this instant.
So close.
It demands the work of this instant. Always warning that you cannot weave every thread into the fabric of the past. Kalima!
Kalima!
The words of Muad'Dib, the Shulock commentary.
Now, that is the commentary track from the Shulock documentary, is it not? Or, sorry, the Kalima documentary.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like I've heard the name Shulock before. Like, that feels like something real.
Well.
Doesn't it?
The Sherlock.
Ah, that's probably it. Yeah, that tracks. But I feel like there was another planet and Men in Black or something like that.
There's Moloch, right? From The Watchmen.
That's true. Good character.
Yeah. Who else is there? I don't know.
But here we are with Leto and Mirez. They're in this ornithopter and they're going to Shulock. This place, I think it was mentioned in the last chapter. I think we might have grazed over it because I was too busy convoying. But Shulock is another like hidden sietch that I think Leto sees that like that's kind of the direction he needs to go. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it unveils something about Paul that we don't know about it at this point. Paul, the preacher, has been tasking Mirez and all these like spice smugglers to grow and kind of like, I guess, just cultivate.
He's hustling sand trout.
He's hustling sand trout. He's shipping worms off planet.
He's dealing illegal trout, illegal worms, shipping them off planet. And honestly, this this got me thinking a lot, because what are the implications of this? Does this mean like worms are going to start popping up all over the world?
Well,
or not the world, but I guess, yeah, the world, universe. Whatever, the universe.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's possible, but Leto says in the chapter here that this would not happen. It doesn't happen for 10,000 years.
Except that it is happening.
Interesting, which is interesting to say if he's not connected to the future and he's trying to avoid.
No, because certain paths. It's just like we were saying yesterday. I think it's like he has already seen certain. He's already seen enough futures, so that he's got a rough. He's got a rough outline of a lot of things that either can or will happen. And then he trapped him. Then he cut himself off. Right? So he has already probably seen this, and it was supposed to happen in 10,000 years, but it's already happening now. Which I'm sure is a little peculiar to him.
What do you mean by it's happening now?
Paul's selling worms.
Gotcha. Okay. So what I was talking about in 10,000 years, it's not about Paul selling worms. It's about the worms creating spice on other planets. That is something that doesn't happen for 10,000 years, according to Leto.
Yeah, gotcha.
But Mirez is saying that even if there's I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he's like, there's a chance. Like, even if there's it's a million to one chance, there's still that one, you know?
There's always a one.
We got to start just shipping these worms off to other planets. And like, there's other things you have to kind of consider here. Like, at what point is a worm best to ship off planet? Do you want them at the sand trout stage so you can kind of like mass them together into a single crate, you know, put a little stamp on it, says worm for delivery? Or is
sand
it better
trout,
to get them up
get
to
the
that?
Trout.
Is it better to get them up to that teenager point, you know, where they're a little, we're a little more aware of what's going on. They sit still on the airplane. Right?
Well,
give them an iPad.
How many years does it take for them to mature into full worms? It's got to take a minute.
It must, especially if you get a full-size worm. Like, that kind of growth takes
a
while.
It raises so many other questions, too. Like, are people... Because, yeah, like, I'm sure the idea is people will get them and raise their own worms and generate their own spice on new planets, in theory. But I'm sure there's some people that are just like, you know, making
worm.
Like a sand trout tuna casserole type situation minus the tuna.
That's
and
definitely
extra trout.
That's definitely something. And I wonder what that would do to your brain, because we all know what the water of life is. It's worm puke. So if
so
you drink the
you know,
water,
that's what I mean.
So if you
so
drink the water of life,
people are probably just like, I don't care about the long term of, you know, cultivating all this spice and everything. I would rather just right now go on a spice trip and, you know, get worm powers. I mean,
yeah.
This trip.
Okay. So I went and looked it up. Apparently, sandworms can live for thousands of years. They can just keep on going.
Yeah, right? Okay. But how long is the process from trout to worm? That's what we want to know here.
That's not said anywhere.
Because if it takes 10,000 years, then Leto's pretty on point with that. And it would line up that now we're shipping them off as baby fish.
I'm not seeing. Oh, maybe we have like a University of Utah, the science
okay,
of sandworms
okay,
of Dune.
Okay. I'm sorry I asked. Let's just go with it. It takes a long time. It takes a little bit. So some people are probably raising them as pets, and some people are probably eating them too.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of it like a turtle, they could be a generational pet, you know?
You pass it off to your kid. Yeah, that's true. Or like a parrot. You could get one sand trout though, and probably sashimi that little puppy up, and make some sushi and probably distribute it. You know, you could probably start a whole business and you could probably stretch one trout pretty far.
Yeah, but if you want the good stuff, you got to know a guy who knows his shit.
Arrakis
rolls. Like those chefs in Japan that you have to be certified to actually to chop up a blowfish, because there's a very specific way you have to cut it so that when you eat it,
yeah,
you
I've seen
die.
The Simpsons. Yeah.
That's a Simpsons episode?
Yeah. Fugu. Homer orders the fugu. And and then there's like it's like a whole thing.
Wow. It's a good episode. Okay. So
I think he eats it and then he almost dies or something. I don't remember.
That tracks if you don't have that's where I learned properly cut. Properly cut blowfish. That could be fish something fish. For sand trout. But like, how big are the sand trout we're talking here? Like, are they just like the little fish? Little tiny worm boys?
They can weigh up to 6 pounds, but are generally caught at 1 pound or less and between 8 and 15 inches. So,
all right.
You know, fish size.
Fish kinda size,
like a,
yeah.
Kind of like a bass, a little bit bigger.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm glad we got that mystery solved.
Yeah, me too.
I think we got to go back to the book. So, with Leto seeing this, I don't know if he gets the sense that, like, I don't know. When I read this, it seemed like Leto was reading this as, like, an act of desperation from Paul because he cut himself off from the future. He doesn't exactly know where it goes, but he does know that the spice cannot stop flowing. It needs to be going out there. And if Dune is going to become a green planet, a place where trout themselves cannot survive,
then we need to stop using plastic straws immediately.
Absolutely. So you have to, so he's coming up with this plan of just sending sand trout all over the universe in, I guess, like a last desperate hope of like trying to make sure that spice keeps flowing, but it remains available to the people. Like, he's democratizing sand trout in a way. Yeah,
well, yeah, sand trout and therefore spice, yeah. Because I think that is what he's trying to do, and I think it comes back to the Occupy Chome thing, and it is, you know, Paul now seems a little bit like a radical terrorist.
I think that he works best when he's a radical terrorist.
Yeah. But so, I think it does seem like he sort of has, you know, good-ish intentions.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything ish. Wrong with what he's doing other than, like, you know, light animal abuse, but revolution has costs.
A little bit of, you know, there's some genocide here and there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, his list of faults are pretty long.
It's a lot.
So, yeah, I get the sense that Leto sees this as, like, a desperate attempt, because when he says to Mirez that this won't happen for 10,000 years, whatever you're trying to do, sending the sand trout off to other planets in the hopes of them cultivating spice, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. It could happen in 10,000 years, but it's like, that's just a chance. So Leto he sees a different way of going through this. But as he's talking about this, that he looks over and he sees Sabiha.
Hello.
These little.
The fuck are you doing here? Well, you make good coffee. Any chance you got a pop brewing?
Yeah, and she bolts immediately. She sees the talking.
She just runs.
Again.
She just runs. She just bolts, kicks the door.
Bail.
Yeah.
it leads into this like kind of like cool standoffish moment where it's like at the edge of a cliff, looking.
Yeah,
into
well,
this, like,
they call canat. It a canat. Now, do we know what a canat is?
Well, I looked it up before we started recording, Steve, and it's a giant bowl of water in sand.
Okay.
Well, and a tunnel of water that leads to the bowl of water.
And so the canat is full of trout, presumably, yes?
I think that's the idea. Yeah, I think that's the idea.
Because there are some parts where in this chapter where they describe like beautiful like fish, like a swirl of fish, like birds or something, but they're like,
yeah,
it's like a fish swirl.
So like they feed off the moisture of the water, but they also have to remain pretty dry, I think, because you can't just like outright drown them. They're not like fish. They still breathe like the air, maybe breathe just straight up spice. Where is oxygen being produced on Arrakis? There are no trees.
Good question. It's a great question. Well,
we're three books in.
And a couple trees.
That's the first time I've ever asked that question.
Just palm trees.
That tracks. I'll take that.
Or at least there were on the in the palace in the movie. They burned
them.
There
was like four of them.
Yeah. They'll probably get some oxygen. It is a good question. Maybe it has something to do with the spice in the air. If you know, please let us know. Write into chapterbychapterpodcast@gmail.com.
So with the standoff between Leto and Sabiha at the edge of this cliff Kanat thing.
Kanat.
He basically stops Sabiha and says to her, along the lines, you're my vision. You've been the thing that I've been following. And the fact that you're here is not an accident. And it's almost like a double meaning. Like, yeah, he's separating himself from the spice or from prescience. But as he's like going down this path, like things are starting to line up in this certain way where he's like Sabiha seems to be the key for him in terms of the path that he needs to go down to create the golden path.
You see, Sabiha, I just can't function without my coffee. So I'm going to just need you for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Every day to just have a hot pot brewing. Okay. At all times.
I've got
this
my French
is how
press
you
here.
Play into the future.
Yeah.
You make great coffee. But
super good.
Is Sabiha more of a central player, a central character than I anticipated here? Like, is she here to stay for a while?
I don't know.
Because it's almost like there's a little bit of a romance, maybe. A very strange one. But there is, I don't know.
I think it's possible, but it's more one-sided than anything.
I think Mirez actually sort of, because Mirez is kind of just like hanging back watching this whole thing. And I think there's a point where he sort of insinuates that towards Leto. And Leto's like, no.
It's not like that, bro.
She makes my coffee.
Oh, but, yeah. Makes you coffee. You know what that means, Fremen culture, yo.
But I wonder, though, because really, like, what is her purpose with him? Jokes aside, it could be coffee. Like, one of her main things is so far as a character is that she makes great coffee. It's been established. So that could be it. But, like, it's probably something more than that. But
she never goes. You know, she never goes anywhere without a French press.
I don't know. It's like called something stupid in Dune, like a Fremen press or a Carino press.
It'd be like Wahid Zala press.
Wahid Zala, also known as the French press.
It comes from this ancient civilization, the French.
We joke, but like that's something they would do. Aside from coffee, the only other purposes I can really see for Sabiha being tied into Leto's future like this is either they marry or are romantically involved or something, or maybe she has to die for some greater reason. But I don't see what else it could be.
We'd have to see. We don't
and
know.
And Leto's got to marry someone sooner or later, and you know, fingers crossed it's not his sister.
I do have some insight on that and how that works for him.
No spoilers.
We're going to have to wait till God Emperor of Dune to figure that one out. Let me tell you.
We won't have to wait long.
I won't have to. You know what? I know it's no spoilers, but it's also not surprising. It's very complicated, and I don't understand it at all.
You're right. That is not not surprising. Not a spoiler.
Yeah. You know, because we do this show the way that we do, the format that we do it, you could probably give us the most basic book. You know, it's the most straight ahead story you could ever read.
Yeah, like a kid's book. And, like, remember that turtle named Franklin? And he would like go to school and stuff?
Hell yeah.
I don't know if that's a Canadian thing. But I bet we wouldn't even understand that.
No, we wouldn't. Because the format that we do makes it impossible to really understand any of these books. Like, can you imagine just like, I don't know, listeners, we're in pain. This is what this is.
I'm okay.
Yeah, he's doing fine. I'm okay too. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm starting to spiral here. So I think it's time to like end this. Look,